Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Star Wars for me held a very particular place because, you know, it was as much a part of my childhood as going to school. As far back as I remember having Star Wars in my life. It was the toys I played with. It was the toys I envied my friends had. If they, you know, I remember one of them having an AT-AT walker, and I was like, well, I was never going to get given an AT-AT. So I'd go over and play at his house so I could use the AT-AT walker.
Hey everyone, welcome to what just might be the most packed episode of the Dagobah Dispatch ever. We have so much for you this week. It's honestly obscene how much we have for you. Check out this lineup. We have Star Wars Skeleton Crew star Jude Law and co-creator Chris Ford here to chat about their upcoming series. But that's not all. We also are going to keep it in the Lucasfilm family as we welcome Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny stars Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Mads Mikkelsen, along with director James Mangold, who all three of those guys have a Star Wars connection. We're going to welcome them to the show as well. That's right, two huge interviews. But once again, that's not all, because we also have an exclusive audio excerpt of the upcoming novel Star Wars Inquisitor, Rise of the Red Blade by Delilah S. Dawson, just for you and only you. But once again, that's not all, because we have a super secret mystery game that my co-host has no idea about that we're going to play. It's all coming up, all that in a bag of chips right here, right now on the Dagobah Dispatch. I am Dalton Ross, joined by my partner in podcasting crime, Devin Kogan, who may or may not be a little nervous about the mystery game here, Devin.
Oh, I'm terrified. I have no idea what's happening. You just were like, I have an idea for this week's podcast, and I'm not going to tell you what it is. So show up and we'll see what happens. So this is me showing up and seeing what happens.
Yeah, what if it was just like about, I want to do a deep dive on the Care Bears or something like just like completely random. I won't do that to you. It will be on brand. It will be on brand a little bit.
But, okay, good.
But this is a huge episode, supersized, yes. Action-packed, high-octane. I will give everyone a heads up, because we're giving you so much this week, and because, oh, BT-dubs, there is a national holiday next week, we will not be around next week. We are taking next week off, so apologies in advance. But we're giving you so much content to chew on this week that hopefully it will tide you over for 2 weeks. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
And I also tell you, I won't say anything, but I will also tell you that Devin is working on some pretty cool Star Wars stuff right now as we speak that might be coming your way down the pike a little bit.
We've got a few things in the works, yeah. So stay tuned both to the podcast and to EW.com, and you know, as it's going to be a fun summer.
Should be good stuff. All right, like I said, we have the audio excerpt from this new Star Wars novel. We've got the stars and director of the new Indiana Jones movie. And we've got Jude Law and Chris Ford from Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Haven't heard a lot about that show. So we're excited to maybe give you some teases and chat with them about that as well. So tons to get to. But before we get to all of that. So Devin, I've been spending like way too much time in the state of Connecticut lately. Like, I just, like, my son went to college in Connecticut at Wesleyan, go Cardinals. I've been going to lots of, like, track and cross-country meets for my son and daughter in Connecticut, hitting up Connecticut College or Trinity or other places like that for meets. And then my daughter is working in New Haven for the summer. So I've just been, like, I'm in Connecticut all the time. They cannot get rid of me as hard as they've been trying. And I keep seeing this billboard when I'm in Connecticut, and the billboard I see is for the Pez Visitor Center in Orange, Connecticut. And apparently, I guess this is like Pez headquarters, world headquarters are in Connecticut. This is where they make Pez, at least the candy. I'm not sure they make the dispensers there. So a lot of going on here on the East Coast when it comes to Pez. So that sort of got me thinking. I was like, then I was going through my attic recently. And like, it's just so much crap. It's like, it's all mine too. None of it's my wife's. None of it's even my kids. It's all my toys and stupid stuff that just she won't let me display, but I'm too bullheaded to get rid of. So as I'm pulling it out, I come across this bag. And in the bag are all these original Star Wars Pez dispensers. Still in like the plastic bags and everything. And they're just sitting. I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. This is worth so much money. I can't believe it. I went and looked online. It's not worth so much money. I thought it was. It wasn't. They've been made like 30 years earlier, maybe, but they weren't. So I'm sitting on a bunch of Pez, Star Wars Pez dispensers. But it got me thinking. And as I'm looking up, as I was trying to like go online and Google, like, are these worth anything? The answer was no. But I ended up on an article on StarWars.com that went into the history of the Pez dispenser, like the history of the Star Wars Pez thing. So let me give you a little history. First off, Pez created in 1927 in Austria. Oh. They were originally sold in tins, Devin, not in those dispensers. They finally came to North America in 1952. And the classic sort of flip top design, that started in 1955. And that took off, got very popular. There's been, you know, well over 1,500 different designs, bunch of different specific heads, and it is the candy's produced in Connecticut and the dispensers are made overseas. So oh, did you hear that? Can you keep that in? It's Devin's cat is making noise. Oh,
we do have a cat who likes to come crash.
Likes Pez too. Oh,
he's a big fan.
He is a big fan of Pez. How could he not be? All right. So anyway, Pez starts in 1955, Devin. Star Wars starts in 1977. However, there were no Pez dispensers, Star Wars Pez dispensers, until 20 years later.
Really?
In 1997 was the first time we ever got any Star Wars Pez dispensers in conjunction with the special edition releases. You remember the special edition releases? Yeah. That's when George Lucas started messing with all his own movies and started changing lots of things. And now there's, now for some reason, Boba Fett is in A New Hope. And there's lots of other things going on. All right. So I'm going to quiz you on some Star Wars Pez history. Okay.
Oh,
we're going to see, how you can figure this out in terms of certain dispensers that have been released. So let's go to our first question. Here we go. Question number one for Devin Kogan. You can play along at home, See if you can figure out. Sam even made some like fancy graphics for Devin right now that we're looking at in our little, recording session here.
Oh, this is so fancy. Yeah. It's on like a black star field and it says Dagobah Dis Pez Ch.
Sammy just trying their best just to make it
incredible. Yeah, I am obsessed.
All right, so play along at home. See if you can see if you can guess what these are. So here's your first question.
Okay, bring it on. I'm ready.
Who were the first five Star Wars Pez dispensers to be released in conjunction with the special edition releases of 1997. So again, it's 1997, special editions are coming out.
Okay.
And, you know, Lucasfilm licenses out some characters to be turned into Pez dispensers. Who are the five Star Wars Pez dispensers? So you can give me a, you know, we'll do one person at a time, one character at a time. You give me a guess, and then we will reveal whether you are correct or not.
Okay.
So whoever you're most confident of, you should go with first.
All right. Well, the one that I think is an obvious choice is there's got to be a Vader.
Okay.
Give me Vader.
All right.
That's my first
you're locking
option.
In Vader? Locking that in? Final answer?
Final answer.
Okay. Devin says Darth Vader is one of the five. Is she correct? Yes, she is. Well done.
Oh my God, we have sound effects?
Good answer.
Oh, I'm obsessed.
Good answer.
Incredible.
Good answer.
I love this.
All right. She's got one down, four to go. That was the easy one.
I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, because I'm thinking of Pez and I think we'll get into some human characters later. But my first thought is, you know, the stuff that makes for really iconic, like head design, you know,
yeah.
Vader's helmet. It's iconic.
Okay.
I think I probably had a Vader Pez dispenser at some point. Let's be real.
I do in the bag upstairs. Apparently it's worth like 99 cents. All right. she's got one. Let's keep going. Give me another 1997 initial Star Wars Pez dispenser.
I think I'm going to go with sticking with non-human.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with C-3PO.
All right. She's going for the droid. She says C-3PO. Is she correct? Yes!
Two for two.
Two for two. Well done. All right. You got two. You need three more. Who's your next guess?
Let's stick with the helmet theme, and we're going to go with Dalton's boy, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. All right. She's going to go with the bounty hunter, some scum, some villainy. Can I see Boba Fett?
Ooh, really? Oh, man. Okay. Interesting.
You know what? That was a good guess, though.
I mean, yeah, again, iconic helmet design. You know, we know Boba Fett, you know, basically took off because of people being obsessed with the way he looks and his toys and things like that. So, all right. Well, I felt good about that guess.
Yeah, I would have felt good. I would have guessed that, too. Had I had five guesses, I would have done that as well. All right. So she's got two. She missed one. What's next?
All right. Let's go for Chewbacca.
Okay. She's going for the Wookiee. Can I see Chewbacca? Yeah.
All right. Okay. Back on track.
I like the way you got. Yeah. I like the way you just like you went down on Boba Fett. It could have gotten you down in the dumps, but no, you rebounded. You're back in the game. You got three down. You only got two to go, but these might be harder. They might not be, but you know.
We'll see. Okay. So I'm thinking, all right, for the next one, I think we're going to have to go to our main trio. And I know that there is a Princess Leia Pez dispenser because Carrie Fisher has referred to the Princess Leia Pez dispenser. But my question is whether or not this was in the 97 one. And I think yes. I'm going to go with Princess Leia.
Okay. This is the character that Devin argued passionately for that should be the number one Star Wars character of all time.
My favorite.
She convinced everyone to do it. That's her power of persuasion. Did Princess Leia get a 1997 Pez dispenser? No, she did not. No.
Wow. No, that's rude, honestly. Yeah. I think Leia should have 100%. So you're telling me Chewbacca got a Pez dispenser and Leia didn't?
Well, he didn't get the medal in A New Hope. That's true. So they're making up for lost time. All right.
They were like, you don't get a medal, but you're a Pez dispenser.
We're going to now have like candy emanate from your like throat when people like knock your head back. All right. Let's focus, Devin. Let's focus. What do we got?
So I've got three.
You got three.
Let's go back to droids. And I think we're going to go with our boy R2-D2. Like, I don't think his head shape quite lends itself as easily to a Pez dispenser, but he's also like so iconic that I think if we have a C-3PO, I feel like you also need an R2-D2. So I'm gonna go with that.
You're going for a set. R2. You think they did a set here? Okay.
I think so. I think so. All right.
I mean, they're playing favorites if they don't, right? So
it'd be kind of rude. Like, yeah. I mean, no offense to C-3PO, but like, is anyone like, you know who's my favorite? C-3PO. I really hate that R2 guy.
Well, if R2 doesn't get one, it could be a case of the squeaky wheel getting the grease because C-3PO doesn't shut up, that guy. You know what I mean?
This is true. Like,
all right. Let's see if Devin's right. Do we have R2-D2? No. No.
Poor R2-D2.
Didn't make the cut. Didn't make it.
Wow. Okay. Yep. So we've got Vader, 3PO, and
Chewbacca.
And Chewbacca.
I'm going to give you a little hint. I'm going to give you a hint. I'm not going to, like, it's not a big hint. It's a little hint. I think there is a pretty obvious one you're missing. You talked about iconic. I think there's a pretty obvious one you're missing here.
All right. I'm going to go with Luke Skywalker.
Okay. She is now saying Luke Skywalker.
We're going to move into the human ones.
We're going with humans. All right. Can we see Luke Skywalker? No.
What? Okay. Oh my God, how many chances do I get before I'm – this is – okay.
You're getting trolled by Sammy now. I love it.
If I was the CEO of the Pez company in 1997, I would have some strong words for the design team because this is insane. How do you know? Okay.
You've now missed more than you've gotten. Like I said, it's hard. There's a lot of characters out there.
I started out so strong because I'm thinking like, okay, what would make a good Pez design? And like, yes, Luke Skywalker is the hero of Star Wars of the original trilogy, but he doesn't get a Pez dispenser? Okay.
I think there's, I think I'm going to give you some hints again. I said iconic, and I also think there's a classic design that you might be missing as well. Something that just lends itself to an easy, a good Pez dispenser.
Because I'm thinking like, all right, I can just start rattling off characters. Like,
well, again, you went for iconic.
Yeah.
There's another iconic character.
Who am I missing?
That I think works well.
Oh, Yoda.
Can we see
There's
Yoda?
There's gotta be a Yoda.
Can we see Yoda?
We gotta see a Yoda.
Yeah,
all
there
right,
it is.
There we go. There We're back is. On track.
All right.
I was thinking A New Hope, and I was like, oh, duh. Okay. So I've got four.
Yeah, you got four. And the fifth one, I'll just give you another hint.
Give me a hint.
You've made a few guesses on helmeted people before. You were right on Darth Vader. You were wrong on Boba Fett, but there could be another helmeted.
Is it a stormtrooper?
Is it a stormtrooper? Yes, it
all
is.
Right,
there it is.
All right. I was thinking characters
there
as opposed
go.
To.
There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. That
There it
that
is.
Tracks. There they are. Okay. The Chewbacca one is slightly terrifying.
I know. We're looking at the images now. The Chewbacca one, it's just the proportions weird. They made his head really, really big and
his eyes are really small and really blue. So he's like staring into your soul a little bit.
He looks like a Bratz doll or something. Like it's just the proportions are really weird. I don't know.
Yeah, the Vader one is the best.
Yes.
The Vader one, classic. The Stormtrooper one, classic. Looks great. Yoda looks a little like he's just witnessed something that he's regretting. Like he's stared into somebody's soul and not liked what he's seen. And the C-3PO one's fine. Yeah, it's fine. But I still think justice for R2. That's fascinating. So there really were no human characters, not like non-helmeted.
No,
human
yeah,
characters
no,
in that first,
exactly.
First,
first batch. That was all. It was all droids, aliens, and people with helmets on.
I mean, this is a good collection. Do I still? I think I have some issues with the Pez company, but hopefully since then I know they've released like a zillion new ones. We've now got BB-8 Pezes and 1,000 other different kinds. You could fill a whole wall.
Well, you're getting ahead of yourself, Devin, because now we got to go next to 1999.
Okay.
Now 1999, The Phantom Menace. Right. This is when The Phantom Menace is coming out, and so in advance of The Phantom Menace, get everyone excited. There's four individual Star Wars Pez dispensers are released. Four characters. Who were they?
So these are just Phantom Menace characters. They're not.
Okay. You asked a very interesting question. I did not say that.
Okay.
I said that these were four Star Wars Pez dispensers released in advance of the release of The Phantom Menace.
Okay. So are these characters that popped up first in the original trilogy?
Do you want me to tell you that?
Yeah. Give me a little bit of. Because otherwise, I'm just going to run down a bunch of the ones I guessed before.
You would not be wrong to run down some of the characters you've guessed before.
Okay.
I won't say if there are, I will say not all the characters you guessed before are there, but that would not necessarily be a bad strategy.
Okay. So is this where we get like a Boba Fett in here?
Let's find out. Are you locking that in?
I think I'm going to lock that
in. Final answer?
Final answer. All right, there we go. Justice. Justice for Boba Fett.
Well done. She's got one out of four. Who else?
All right. This is pre-Phantom Menace. I'm going to guess, you know, because we all know that pre-Phantom Menace, everyone went really hard on one particular type of merch, thinking that this was going to be the breakout character. Jar Jar Binks. Give me Jar Jar Binks.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let Sammy give you a sound effect. Sammy, well, go ahead. Sammy, get buzzer. Go ahead. You can buzzer. It's fun to buzz. Good. Buzz down. That's
okay,
good.
Okay.
So you're not technically wrong. There was a Jar Jar Binks box set in like a Mos Espa scene of him like slurping up food from a street vendor. So it was a bigger sort of set. It wasn't like an individual character. So I'm not going to count that as a wrong answer.
Okay.
I would say your instinct when you were picking Boba Fett was probably a good instinct.
More on track. Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, there's no freaking Phantom Menace, people. They literally put Pez out in 1999 with no Phantom Menace characters at all. Someone at Pez must have seen the movie and be like, you know what? We're just going to stay away from this one. Like, I don't know, because like, again, why wouldn't you do like a Darth Maul Pez? Like,
yes, that was going to be my next guess.
As well it should be.
Because I'm thinking of the way it works now, where, you know, even, you know, months before a new Star Wars movie comes out, we're already getting merch and we're already seeing a look at, you know, Rey's new outfit and, you know, Kylo Ren's new mask or whatever. But I guess, interesting, it was different in 1999.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you two because you guessed them already. Sammy, give her two dings, please. There you go.
Ding.
That's for Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia. They were in the 99. Now, Luke Skywalker's interesting. They did Luke in his X-Wing pilot's helmet.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's probably easier than like sculpting his hair.
Yeah. I think that's a good call. I think it's a good call. Put him in a helmet. Like you said, the hair is sometimes a little weird. Now, the fourth one, I'll give you a little clue or else I think we'll be here all day.
I was going to say, how long do we have?
But we got more questions to go. This is a character from Return of the Jedi.
It's going to be the Emperor.
Okay. You're locking that in?
I'm locking in the Emperor. All right, my final answer, Regis.
Is it the Emperor?
No. Oh, okay. Second guess. Yep. Let's go. Is it an Ewok?
Do you want to specify the Ewok?
Is it Wicket?
Is it Wicket? Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Good
okay.
done. Well
see, because you tripped me up because you were like, okay, it's a character. So I was like, I was just going to guess general Ewok, but
yep.
All right. I see. Okay.
Yeah, there they are. So it's a classic Leia with the buns. It's Luke with the helmet. It's Wicket. And there's your Boba Fett as well.
There you go. Yeah. See, Boba Fett, it just lends itself perfectly to
it's
be a great dispenser.
It's a good looking dispenser. All right. Let's move into the new millennium. Okay. 2002 now, Devin. It's Attack of the Clones, right?
Let's go.
Which three characters from Attack of the Clones, this time I'll tell you, they're actually in the movie.
Okay, that's good. That's helpful clarity.
Which characters from Attack of the Clones got a Pez dispenser around the release in 2002?
Let's go with... And these are characters...
Well, we've noticed a trend here, right? Helmets do pretty well.
I mean, it's Attack of the Clones. Give me a clone trooper. We got to have a clone in there.
All right. She's going to guess clone trooper for her first one. Is that right? There you go.
All right. There we go.
Good.
I mean, come on. You can't make a movie called Attack of the Clones and not have a clone Pez dispenser. What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean, they made Phantom Menace like Pez dispensers with no one from the Phantom Menace. So,
you know, honestly, probably that was correct. Let's get some female representation in there. I'm going to go for Padme.
Oh, she's going to go Padme. All right. Can we get a Padme Pez dispenser?
Nah. Aw, man, the female
no women allowed.
In these Pez dispensers has been really disappointing.
No, not allowed.
Okay. Attack of the Clones. Now I'm just thinking about how badly I want a Dexter Jetster Pez dispenser.
Oh my God. It'd be so great.
That's what I'm getting you for your birthday.
Yes, that's what I want.
let's stick with we're not going to get like a repeat of a Yoda. These are new characters. Right?
Okay, you will not get a repeat of a previous
of a Pez dispenser we have already seen.
Correct.
Okay.
And the character is in the movie.
Okay.
I'll give you even a hint on this. There's one classic character that's also in this movie, and there's one new character.
Okay.
Who's in this movie?
A new character and a classic character. I mean, I feel like we need an Obi-Wan Kenobi in there. We haven't had an Obi-Wan yet.
Okay.
And I feel like this would be the perfect time for it. So that's going to be my guess.
They're waiting for this specific haircut because this is like, they wanted the.
So they were like, we don't want to do the little Padawan braid.
We want the mullet. We want the mullet. Give us the Jedi mullet. All right.
Give us the mullet.
Can you give us the Jedi mullet with an Obi-Wan Kenobi Pez dispenser? No.
What?
Nope. Nope.
Justice.
Nope.
Okay. So,
You've the classic character you've guessed already.
Classic character I've guessed already.
I'll give it to you because you guessed already. Give her a ding. Give her a ding.
Who is
there
it?
There you go. R2-D2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would never have guessed.
But
that.
I'm not.
This is when R2 finally got his his due. It took until 2002.
I'm not giving you the new character, though, because you should know this. You should be able to figure this out.
A new character, Attack of the Clones. I remember there being so much Count Dooku merch around 2002. Like, I had so much Count Dooku stuff, but I don't think he would be a Pez dispenser as much as I love Christopher Lee and would love a Christopher Lee Pez dispenser. New character in Attack of the Clones.
Big character, Devin. Big character.
Who am I missing in Attack of the Clones?
You're missing it.
Who am I missing in Attack of the Clones characters? It's not. We already. I mean, do we get a Mace Windu in there?
That'd be good.
That's my guess. Is it Mace Windu?
Mace Windu?
Who am I missing?
All right, okay. I'm going to give you a really obvious hint.
And give me a really obvious hint, because
this character has a relative that has already had a Pez dispenser.
Is it Anakin?
Just buzzer. Just buzzer.
Who, you know what, Sammy?
Buzzer like five times in a row. Then I'm just gonna tell him. Yep. Just keep going. Yep,
okay.
Yep.
Wow, this is embarrassing. Who am I missing?
And Sammy, one more buzz, please. Thank you very much. Okay. Actually, you know what? One more. Hit her one more time. Yeah, there it is.
Wow,
you
this is abusive.
It. It's Jango Fett.
Oh, Jango Fett. Really?
Big character. Big character. New character. New movie. Yeah. Jango Fett.
I don't know. He gets his head chopped off like by the end of the movie. I mean, okay.
That's how you can put the Pez in, because he gets his head chopped off. He becomes the human Pez dispenser. They literally chop him off to get the Pez out.
See, that's my problem. I keep thinking of like human faces, and I guess the Pez sculptors are like, I don't want to deal with human faces. Give me helmets and robots.
All right. Here we go. Next one is just a, so it, 2005 we're going to now.
Okay.
Revenge of the Sith. There's a whole bunch of Pez stuff happening. There's like 14 giant Pez heads, which I guess are like huge giant Pez that you do. There's two different 9 Pez collector sets. And then there's 4 individual releases, which we can get to in a minute if you want to tell you who those are. But that's not your question.
Okay.
Your question is this. For Revenge of the Sith, which character came in a special Walmart exclusive Pez with a glow-in-the-dark face?
A glow-in-the-dark face?
I'll even give you a hint. I think it kind of fits once you realize who it is.
Okay, so the first thing that I think of is I had a bunch of Legos as a kid, and they always made like the bad guys glow in the dark. So like Snape was always glow in the dark. So I'm going to go with a Palpatine glow in the dark face.
You're going to go glow in. You think they made Emperor Palpatine's face glow in the dark? That's what you think?
I don't know. All right. I'm second guessing.
Okay. All right. If that's what she thinks, let's see if she's right. Is it Emperor Palpatine? Yes, it is.
You made me second guess it. I was like, oh no. Oh, this is great. It's a Walmart exclusive limited edition with a glow in the dark face.
It looks cool, right? Like it
looks
kind of fits
creepy as hell.
With his face at the end of the movie after the whole ultimate power thing. Like, you know, like that weird
ultimate power.
Yeah. With the red eyes. It's cool looking, right? The hood.
I would walk around with that Pez dispenser just going, do it. The whole time. Do it.
there were 4 regular releases, just so you know. There was a non-glow-in-the-dark Palpatine. There was a General Grievous, which looks pretty cool. There was a Death Star. And then there was a new version, a second version of Chewbacca.
Okay, they were like, we looked at the first Chewbacca, and we were like, we need to fix him up. He looks a little ratty.
Well, listen, that was great. You got that first guess. I was really impressed.
I'm getting my confidence back.
Yeah, and I think this next question you're going to do well too. I'll just give you that hint as well to say I think this next one will be, don't overthink it.
Don't overthink it. Okay.
What 3 Clone Wars characters got their own Pez dispenser in 2009? Clone Wars started, I believe, 2008, and then they released 3 Clone Wars Pez dispensers. Which characters do you think got one?
Well, definitely Ahsoka.
All right. Can we see Ahsoka?
Nice.
Excellent. Yep.
We're not overthinking it.
Yep.
I'm going to go with Captain Rex.
All right. She's going Captain Rex. Can I see Captain Rex? No.
Ooh, Do we have, okay, follow-up question. Do we have any clones?
No.
Okay, no clones in the Clone Wars Pez dispensers. Okay. In that case, is this where we finally get our Obi-Wan and Anakin? I'm going to grab the guess two for two.
You're going to guess two at the same time.
I'm going to guess two at the
same time. She's that confident. She's doubling down. She's either going to get double buzz, double dings, or maybe.
Either that or I'm not confident, which is why I'm suggesting a bunch.
It could be, as my producer on EW Live on the radio once said, a ding and a dong. But that actually came out of his mouth. Let's find out. She's guessing as a pair, Anakin and Obi-Wan. Yeah! Oh,
finally. All right. These are great. This lends itself very well to the Pez dispenser style because they're animated. Ahsoka looks a little funky, but you know, we'll deal with it.
Yeah, the skin's a little too red on the Ahsoka, but it has a red base, so maybe they're trying to match that a little bit, but it's a little strong.
I would have gone more orange for Ahsoka, mm-hmm. but you know.
Yeah. All right, last question, and then we're going to get to our interviews. Everyone playing along, this is your last one. Here we go.
All right, bring it on.
After The Force Awakens was released at the very end of 2015, there were 4 Force Awakens dispensers released in 2016. Who were they?
Okay. We got to go Kylo Ren. Again, we're sticking with helmets. Kylo Ren is number one.
Oh, she's very confident, and she's right. Absolutely right. Let's go. Kylo Ren.
Number two, we're going to stick with droids. We're going to go for BB-8. I remember the BB-8 frenzy of merchandise. Give me BB-8.
She's got BB-8.
There we go.
Two down. All right. Two to go.
I'm going to hopefully justice for our female characters, and let's say we need a Rey. We need a Rey Pez dispenser. All right. We're 3 for 3. Okay.
One left, Devin. One left. Is she going to go helmets? Is she going to go humans? What is she going to do?
This is the thing. I'm like trying to think. Okay, so there's two ways we could go with this. I'm thinking about this very strategically. I'm taking this so seriously.
As well you should.
I'm very competitive. So on one hand, we could go major characters. We could go with like a Finn or a Poe or somebody like that. Or we could go like who would lend themselves very well to a Pez dispenser design, which would be like, I don't know, like your Maz Kanatas. I don't think there's a Snoke one. I'm going to go with Maz Kanata because I feel like there's a Maz Kanata Pez dispenser. I don't know who would buy it, but I feel like that was a thing.
All right. Do we have Maz?
All right. Am I overthinking it too much?
You might be overthinking it. I'll just say that there's maybe a little bit of history to this Pez dispenser in terms of very similar models.
Similar models. Okay, do we have a new Stormtrooper? We have a new Stormtrooper helmet, I bet.
Yep, there it is. First Order Stormtrooper.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You did well on that. You got 4 out of 5. There it is. We're looking at it now. You got your Kylo Ren. You got your the Rey one's a little disturbing, I'll be honest.
It's a little funky. Her eyebrows are weird.
It's a little weird. But the BB-8 looks good, and I think
love the BB-8.
The Kylo Ren one looks awesome. Good.
Yeah.
I think you acquitted yourself very nicely in this game.
Okay. I got myself back on track by the end of it. I was overthinking it a little bit at the beginning, but
now that you've realized what they are, now that you've seen them, if you could have one of these Pez dispensers, which would it be?
Ooh, good question. I mean, the BB-8 one is very cute. But I kind of love the cursed Chewbacca one from 1999. He just looks so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just the scale is way off on that.
Really, and his eyes are so small. I love him. I love it. What about you? What's your favorite?
I think Glow in the Dark Emperor is the way I'd go, right? I'm a sucker for the bell and the whistle. Like, just give me a stupid extra feature that doesn't really work or do anything, and I'm all over it.
Yeah, we love anything glow in the dark. I'm like, yes, I love this. 10 out of 10.
Yeah. All right, so that's the history of Pez dispensers. At least I should be clear. This is the history of Pez dispensers as of like 2017. That's when the article was made. So, you know, that's why you didn't get any, you know, like Rise of Skywalker business in there.
I mean, come on. There's got to be a Baby Yoda Pez dispenser at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's probably been like 12 at this point.
No doubt. So,
and a Mando, we know they love a helmet. It writes itself.
It's got to be there.
What I want now is the Andor Pez dispensers, though. I think that would be hilarious.
They'd all just look really depressed and just like
really, really sad, and just like Stellan Skarsgård looking sad and talking about burning this, burning his life to make a sunrise he'll never see.
You should be able to get just a series of Stellan Skarsgård ones, just in different wigs, like just different looks and wigs and scarfs and things happening like that.
Oh, the dream. We got to pitch it. Lucasfilm, make it happen.
We should. That's what we'll make our millions, or at least our hundreds. All right. We are only getting started here. Coming up next, we have our chat with Jude Law and creator Chris Ford of Star Wars Skeleton Crew. That will be immediately followed up by my interview with Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, and director James Mangold of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. And that will be immediately followed by our exclusive audio excerpt of Star Wars Inquisitor Rise of the Red Blade by Delilah S. Dawson. There's still a lot to get to, and it's all coming up right after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, we are sitting here with Jude Law and Chris Ford, the star and one of the creators of Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Thanks so much for joining us. So Chris, just as important as the plot stuff is on any show, just as important as the tone and mood and feel of a series. So what kind of tone are you going for here with Skeleton Crew?
Well, it's Skeleton Crew's tone is an adventure. We wanted it to be a lot of fun. But of course, along with adventure comes the downside of it, which is danger. And when the kids are in danger, it's extra fraught. So, you know, we played with that, but overall wanted it to be just a fun adventure.
The show does have a young cast. Does that mean it's targeted to more of younger viewers in a certain way?
I wouldn't say target. Hopefully it can be for all ages kind of a thing. I mean, when we told Kathy Kennedy about that, we wanted to go for that kind of Amblin tone, which she, you know, perfected over the years, what she would say is that they never thought of those as movies for kids. They just happen to be about kids, a story of a kid going on an adventure. So it could be for anyone.
So Jude, from the footage that we saw in the room at Star Wars Celebration, it certainly looks like you're playing a Jedi. What else can you tell us about your character and his relationship to the younger folks on the show?
I can't tell you very much about my character. He is someone the children meet on their journey, on their attempt to get home. He, like a lot of the world that they experience, is contradictory and at times a place of nurture and at other times a place of threat. What I love is because it's through their eyes, you know, at times there's a sort of goofy nature and a goofy relationship between the kids and the adults. And then other times it's really quite dark and quite scary, which I guess is what the world probably looks like to an awful lot of 11-year-olds.
Chris, why did you ultimately decide to set this story in the same post-Return of the Jedi timeline as The Mandalorian and Ahsoka? And does that mean we may see more crossovers?
There may or may not be some crossovers.
What's that era called? Interstate? No.
Oh yeah. What's the official name?
It's a 30-year gap. Right?
Well, it's the New Republic era. The New Republic. Right. Yeah. You know, for us, it was a great era because as much as the New Republic is trying to bring things back, it's a kind of lawless, wild time. So there's kind of a lot of danger. If we had said it earlier, the kids would have, you know, maybe just met the Empire and just shut down. So this is more of a
trained as stormtroopers.
Exactly. The worst. So this is more of a galaxy to get lost in.
And where exactly in the galaxy is this story taking place?
All over the place.
Yeah. I could throw some sector numbers, but you know, I'll keep it to myself.
You could probably work that out by the number of light speeds that people hit, right? We hit quite a few light speeds.
Yeah.
Does that even count? We go ping, 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 I mean, ping, 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 pinging all over the galaxy.
I think they like to keep that vague, too.
Yeah. as to how
fast did this go? Yeah, I know. I always tried to do that math.
Is there slow light speed and fast light?
Yes, there is. Is there? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Depending on the ship.
Calm light speed.
I mean, that's why the Millennium Falcon is faster than the other ship.
Of course.
Jude, you certainly know what it's like to step into a big franchise, having also entered the worlds of Marvel and Harry Potter. How is this either similar or different?
Well, the franchises you're describing are all, you know, they have their own family kind of personality. So they all feel different in the teams behind them and the way that they're made. And then indeed, you know, the fans who embrace and love each of them so completely. And they all have their own quirks and sort of individuality too, the different ways they obsess and love these different universes, these different worlds. Star Wars for me held a very particular place because, you know, it was as much a part of my childhood as going to school. As far back as I remember having Star Wars in my life. It was the toys I played with. It was the toys I envied my friends had. If they, you know, I remember one of them having an AT-AT walker, and I was like, I was never going to get given an AT-AT. So I'd go over and play at his house so I could use the AT-AT walker. And probably the reason I started acting in that, you know, running around a playground pretending to be Luke or Han or Chewbacca or Vader, you know, was literally what I was playing acting as a child. So it's lore in my life, and so being in it is both kind of surreal and seems very second nature in some ways, familiar, and then also slightly out of body.
Finally, before I let you guys go, the news is out that the Oscar-winning directing duo, the Daniels, have directed an episode of Skeleton Crew. What was it like working with them?
It's pretty great, right? There are two of them, you know.
Yeah, we got two directors for the price of one.
Two directors for the price of one. They were fun. They were really,
they're really
great.
Fun. Yeah. They bring a great dynamic to the set. In the morning, they always do a special warm-up exercise.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, they really know how to run a set well and make it a fun set.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. And this world, this series had the right amount of elbow room, should we call it, maneuverability, morphousness that each of the directors coming on were able to really bring their own perspective. And so there is definitely a kind of a flavor of the Daniels as there are of everyone else.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. Cannot wait to check out the show. James, what sort of advice did Steven Spielberg give you for making an Indiana Jones movie? What was the big takeaway there?
Well, Steven was someone I talked to all the way through shooting the film, and certainly he was around to see where I was going with cutting. But I do remember one thing he said that really resonated with me, which is he said he discovered when he was making these movies that these are more like a trailer than a movie, meaning as a director, you have to be so aware of how quickly you have to keep moving, because the whole thing operates like a two-hour trailer more than a kind of two-hour movie, if that makes any sense.
It does. Phoebe, tell me about Helena's relationship with Indy. Like, how does she see him, and how does he see her?
Helena and Indy have quite an unusual relationship, because there's a lot of affection when they first see each other, because they have a past relationship of, well, you know, she's his goddaughter. And so when he first sees her, I think he's quite pleased and moved that she's come into his life. Poke me if I start saying too much.
No, this is good.
But then she has an agenda. And
she's lying.
Not about being his goddaughter. That's pretty true.
No, that's true.
So there is so after this kind of moment of affection at the beginning, there's an instant tension, and they become antagonists in each other's adventure. But I think what's so fun about them is that they're actually more alike than either of them realize, and so they sort of can't help but admire and become sort of friends in those moments, even though they're up against each other. But I think she underestimates him at the beginning, and learns a lot from him, I think, actually, throughout it, which she wasn't expecting.
Mads, what can you tell us about Jürgen and this character?
Well, Jürgen is a scientist, German scientist, does it ring a bell? whose love for science, and in his case specifically math, supersedes his love for ideology. But if you can combine the two, that's a win-win.
I know you're trying to convince everyone he's a good guy. I don't think everyone's buying that.
No.
But,
I mean, I've done a few, let's call them villains and baddies. We always try to figure out what's driving them as actors. You know, I mean, we have to defend it down the line. I mean, obviously, it's indefensible. But he shares a common love with certain things together with Indy. So there is that part you can dive into as an actor and understand and go with. And then the ideology part is out of my hands.
I feel like, there's a little Nazi element here again, James. It seems like that just, it's like, Indio says snakes, why'd it have to be snakes? I feel like it's Nazis, why did it have to be Nazis? Like, that's just so, in the DNA of this film. Tell me about using that in this one.
Well, I felt like we needed, the Nazis are as much a part of the formula of an Indiana Jones movie as anything else. And I think that one of the interesting things, because this film takes place in the late 60s, is that it's a time where villainy is diffuse. We don't really, it's a gray time. You know, who's bad, who's good? It's a time of real politic, of kind of cultural revolution. Our presidents are lying. Our wars are going on around the world. There's a Cold War. It's harder to see the world in the crystal clear black and white terms that the world was seen in the period 30s and 40s when the original Indiana Jones movies take place. So part of the challenge for me and my co-writers was also to construct a world in which we allow us to find Indy in this new age when heroes like him are not in fashion anymore and it's not so clear who the bad and good guy is anymore. And then allow the movie to evolve and reveal itself that, no, there's always evil, and it always is showing its face in one way or another. And that's where the Nazis come back, although they've infiltrated our own culture. Mads' character is an important scientist working on her space program, not unlike historical reality.
Phoebe, 1969, that's a cultural revolution. Is that play into her relationship with India a little bit? Is it not just a generation gap, but sort of a cultural gap at all?
Yeah, I think she represents a new time. She's certainly someone who looks to the future, and I feel like this time, particularly at the beginning of the movie, like there's an emphasis on the fact that people are looking forwards. That people are landing on the moon. They're like not as interested in history or the importance of it. And she certainly isn't. She sees history as something she can perhaps make money out of rather than learn anything from. And I don't know if that completely sums up the age, but for her, she's definitely a modern thinking, independent mercenary character. And that feels, I think that feels quite fresh.
If you're in a Star Wars film, you want to play with a lightsaber. I feel like if you're in an indie film, you want to play with the whip. Did any of you ever play with the whip? Any whipping going on?
No way you can get close to that
one. I wouldn't put a whip in your hands.
Have you seen Harrison's hands? I mean, you're not going to get close to that whip.
No.
He's not going to allow it. It's not going to happen.
What was working with Harrison like for both of you on set?
He's an amazing man.
Yeah, he's incredible.
It sounds silly to say it, because I mean the films were legendary films, and he is a legendary actor. And when you sit opposite him, you're just part of history, and in the present time. And he's right there, and he's so down to earth, and he's a fantastic man and a fantastic actor. So, and he makes you at ease. He never makes you nervous. He's just like, let's make the scene. Let's do it.
Let's shoot this piece of shit.
Exactly.
Yes, he's well known for saying. Yeah, and he really works really hard. Like, and everyone kind of ups their game when they're around him, because just, even from a stunt perspective, I mean, he's doing everything pretty much that you
but
see.
But it's not like only working. I remember the first night shoot we had. We wrapped at 5 a.m. Everybody is completely exhausted, and he goes out on a bicycle and rides 50 kilometers. Mm. This is like, all right. Damn, I got to pull myself together here.
We're at Star Wars Celebration, obviously. Mads and Phoebe, you have experience in the Star Wars galaxy. James now just announced you're going to be working on a new film further back than we've ever seen Star Wars on screen. What can you tell us about that?
Absolutely nothing more than I said on stage.
But we're going back 25,000 years. What's
Indeed.
It like to get to sort of show that era for the first time?
This is one where I'm not going to read my answer, including your question. I'm not going to answer it.
You know I've got to try.
You do. Let it be noted, he tried.
any chance we might see you back? L3, Galen Erso, Cassian got a prequel series.
Well, I guess for the guy who invented the Death Star 25,000 years before that, he's not part of it. Sounds like
and
it.
Likewise. Although we did work out earlier that you invented the Death Star and I am the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, but how's that going to work?
I don't know how it's going to work back there. It was just a nice little chat we had.
Just a connection.
What do you say, Jim? Are we in?
That's yeah. You're in. New roles, lots of prosthetics.
Thanks so much for the time. Really
thank you so
it.
Much.
I'm so excited to see the film.
Can't wait. In the stately chambers high in a spire, she found Master Galia joined by not Yoda, but Mace Windu. His sharp eyes fell heavy on Iskat, and she met his gaze bravely, chin up. Iskat Akaris, Master Windu said, fingers steepled. Have you given thought to what happened on Thule? I have, Master Windu. And what are your conclusions? She slipped her hands into the sleeves of her robes to hide their shaking. At the time, I thought I was making the right call. But I realize now that there were other options. I could have retreated and worked out a new solution with Tualan after reviewing the intel he downloaded in the factory. I could have asked Captain Spider his thoughts and decided on a new strategy or waited for reinforcements. I took a risk, and although it paid off, it also caused harm. In the future, I will seek input from my mission partners and won't act rashly alone. Mace blinked once, slowly. A well-spoken answer, and the right one. But is it what you feel in your hearts? Iskat faltered for a moment, wondering exactly how well she was hiding her thoughts from the canny master. I know that it's the right answer, and that is more important than what I feel. The Jedi Order and its service to the Republic are more important than the individual. I'm glad to hear you say that. Mace sat back. We have your next assignment. Iskat stood taller. Yes, Master? Mace gestured to Master Galia, who sat up with a pleased sort of energy. You've done an excellent job working with the younglings, and it has not gone unnoticed. Since Geonosis, they've had rotating instructors, which has made it difficult for them to truly find healing and move forward with their studies. We feel that having one fully committed instructor would benefit them most. She leaned forward and held out a hand. And we think you're the ideal choice for this position. For a long moment, Iskat said nothing. She'd come here excited about her next mission off-planet, but they were effectively grounding her. All of Mace's careful compliments didn't change the fact that this wasn't just a disappointment. It was a demotion. It was a punishment. Master, this is a great honor. But, Mace's eyebrows rose. But I feel that the Force calls me to serve the Jedi and the Republic through service in the field. I know you think I've suffered a lapse in judgment, or that I'm not ready to lead, but I'm ready to follow. Iskat's hearts were thumping, and she struggled to maintain her composure. She had to convince Mace that this was the wrong decision. But Mace didn't even appear to consider it. Iskat, the Council is in agreement. For now, this is how you can best serve the Jedi Order. It is a post of the utmost importance. These children represent our future, and there is no greater calling than to provide the routine and support they require to thrive. Master Galia added, "We feel that this arrangement will be mutually beneficial." "But I'm a Jedi Knight," Iskat began. "And this is a post generally occupied by a Jedi Master. So perhaps that will bring you some comfort," Mace finished. Iskat looked down and unclasped her hands, which tightened into fists. Master Windu, I know that you asked Josk to keep an eye on me on Thule. I know that you don't trust me, but I'll do anything to prove to you that I'm fit for duty and that I have truly learned from my errors. If you truly want to prove that you're fit for duty, Mace said, then you'll take this assignment with grace and humility, and dedicate yourself to teaching the younglings and further developing your control within the Force. I'll be watching you here, too, along with Masters Clefan and Ume. We will determine when you're ready for a different post. Until then,
You have some work to do. Understood? Iskat actively fought her body's desire to slump over in defeat. Yes, Master. I'll do my best. I trust that you will. Mace's data pad beeped, and he frowned at it. But first, would you please meet Chancellor Palpatine at Landing Pad 7 and escort him here? He looked to Master Galia. He's early. That, at least, gave Iskat a jolt of excitement. She had seen hollows of the Chancellor, of course, but she'd never been in his presence. He was the most powerful politician in the Republic. And even if Mace didn't trust her on the battlefield, at least he trusted her enough to extend the hospitality of the Jedi Temple to someone so important. Of course, Master. She inclined her head, then forced herself to exit the chamber calmly. In the lift, she shook out her body and took a few deep, cleansing breaths. She smoothed back the little hairs that always escaped from her long braid and arranged her sleeves. Once the lift opened, she swiftly walked out to the landing pad, slowing her pace and smiling warmly as she approached the sleek, chrome yacht. Much to her surprise, instead of traveling with a retinue or even a secretary, the Chancellor was alone. He was an older man, with gray hair brushed back, and he wore long, formal burgundy robes with puffed sleeves. He gave off an air of benevolent kindness, and Iskat immediately liked him. Chancellor Palpatine, welcome. I'm Iskat Akaris. Master Mace Windu has asked me to conduct you to the council chambers for your meeting. Palpatine's answering smile was warm and genuine, and he inclined his head. It is a pleasure to meet you, Iskat. Your name seems familiar. Do I remember correctly that you were among those recently promoted to Jedi Knight? Iskat's heart stuttered, to think he might know anything about her. As she led him to the lift, she said, You're correct, Chancellor. It's only been a few weeks. And what have you done since then? I know we depend on our Jedi Knights as part of the war effort, and the people of the galaxy are grateful for your service. The slow, formal speech was like a dance, and Iskat felt alive speaking to someone so important, as if they were equals. I was sent to Thule, where we disarmed a separatist droid factory. The lift opened, and Iskat gestured for Palpatine to proceed, and then followed, standing by his side at a respectful distance. Ah, Thule. Palpatine gave a small sigh and clasped his hands. The Jedi Council was disappointed in the outcome there. But after some thought, I personally take a somewhat more optimistic view. That's one less factory, and perhaps it will give pause to the Separatists and those who would serve them. This is a war, after all, and I, for one, am pleased to know that another manufactory of weapons against our Republic will never be brought online. Relief spread through Iskat's chest to hear that he wasn't disappointed. I'm afraid the Council disagrees with that opinion, Chancellor. But it's just... the Jedi could do so much more... She trailed off. Go on, Palpatine urged. I am not your Council, and I am curious what you would do differently. New perspectives are always welcome. Iskat realized she had only a few brief moments to speak candidly before the lift doors opened on the High Council and the sharp ears of her masters. We are peacekeepers, but peace cannot be earned solely through defense. The Jedi, some of the Jedi, have untapped abilities that could be honed to serve the Republic. We could take a more assertive role. Diplomacy is well and good, but the High Council insists that we remain passive when we can do more. When I can do more, she wanted to say. The lift doors opened, and Palpatine stepped out. I enjoyed our talk, Iskat Akaris, and I will take your thoughts into consideration. I feel certain you have a bright future ahead of you. I've been told I'm to teach the children now, rather than go on another mission, she said, unable to hide her frustration. He put a hand to the lift door, holding it open.
How fortunate for the children. They are our future, after all, and they can only benefit from your knowledge. I'm sure we'll see you in the field again soon. The Republic needs more Jedi like you. His eyes twinkled as he inclined his head in farewell and allowed the lift doors to close, leaving her alone. As the lift descended, Iskat felt a glimmer of hope. Maybe Mace Windu didn't have faith in her, but in one brief meeting, Chancellor Palpatine had suggested he did. She'd felt it in the Force, felt the Chancellor's goodwill and approval. He'd said they needed more Jedi like her. It felt good, and she hoped she would encounter him again soon.
All right, our thanks to our guests this week, Jude Law, Chris Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Mads Mikkelsen, and James Mangold. And thank you for being our guest as well. Wow, I sound like a singing candle in a Disney movie. If you could please take 10 seconds to follow and rate and review the podcast, we would really appreciate that in a big way. You can connect with us on social media by following Entertainment Weekly on all socials. It's at EW on Twitter and at Entertainment Weekly everywhere else. You can also tag and follow us directly using at Dalton Ross and at Devin Kogan. Thanks so much, everyone. We are off next week for the holidays, so we will do it all over again in 2 weeks. See you then.
This episode of Dagobah Dispatch Podcast is hosted and produced by Dalton Ross and Devin Kogan. Produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Executive produced by Chanel Johnson. Full episode transcripts are available at EW.com. Thanks for listening, and may the Force be with you.